You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hey everyone, this is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for May 15th, 2015. This week I'm in Boston at the Heart Rhythm Society sessions. I'm going to talk mostly about heart rhythm issues. I'm going to talk about the Micra pacemaker, LV endocardial pacing for CRT, MRI safe pacing of ICDs, Botox for prevention of atrial fibrillation, HIS bundle pacing, the ABIM controversy, and some other happenings in cardiology. First up, let's talk about the Micra pacemaker. Dr. Ritter presented as part of the late-breaking clinical trials today, which was the second LVCT session. He presented results of 140 patients, a study done in multiple centers across the world. The implantation of this very small RV pacing device with tines was 100% successful. He showed good pacing parameters, good safety with complications in only 5% of patients, no patient deaths. And he reported that a long-term trial is ongoing. This is big. Leadless pacemakers will be the future, and he showed videos of how they implant these things, and it looks quite straightforward. Next up is also a pacing study called the SELECT-LV trial. This was a proof of concept and safety study of a novel leadless pacing system in patients that are not suitable for CRT. So these patients already have a device. They were thought eligible for CRT, but CRT was unable to be performed for some reason. So this system involves placing a leadless, quote, pellet in the LV endocardially retrograde aortic through a sheath. The device is screwed into the lateral left ventricular wall. And then another device, a subcutaneous device, is implanted in the left chest in the fourth or fifth rib space in close proximity to that. And that device sends ultrasonic energy to the pellet, which is in the LV, and that pellet transforms the ultrasound energy to electrical energy. But the even cooler part is that the device senses an RV stimulus and within 5 milliseconds delivers an LV stimulus. So it essentially does CRT, but leadless and endocardial LV. Dr. Vivek Reddy presented this, of course. There were 39 patients, all recruited in Eastern Europe. There were 4 safety events. One patient died during the procedure from ventricular fibrillation. There were no cardiac tamponades. And once patients who were successfully implanted with this device, there was QRS narrowing, improved ejection fraction, and improved quality of life. So this is very early stuff, but again, I mentioned it because it does look to be the future of pacing, leadless, endocardial systems communicating with subcutaneous devices. Next up is MRI-safe ICDs. In the first late-breaking clinical trial session, Dr. Michael Gold presented the results of the Medtronic-sponsored Evera trial. But in the second late-breaking clinical trial sessions, which was today, another group presented data on the Biotronic Pro-MRI ICD system. Both studies were positive. Both ICD systems performed well in a 1.5 Tesla magnet. And of course, you had a hint that the studies were going to be positive because the marketing of these devices were all over the meeting. In fact, my hotel key is sponsored by Biotronic MRI safe devices. Gotta keep in mind, I'll say, the MagnaSafe registry, which was last presented at the AHA meeting in 2014, showed very overwhelming evidence that most cardiac devices are safe in MRIs, even ICDs. Now, MagnaSafe was not a randomized controlled trial, and it did not include thoracic MRIs. Next up is the new anticoagulant drug, so-called NOACs, as periprocedural agents before AF ablation. There was a great deal of data at HRS on the use of NOAC drugs as periprocedural agents. My colleagues at the heart.org on Medscape, Steve Stiles, has a nice report from a featured poster from Dr. Natale's group, which showed that TEE may be unnecessary in AF patients on uninterrupted rivaroxaban and apixaban. And similarly, in a late-breaking clinical trial, the Venture AF trial presented yesterday, they showed that uninterrupted rivaroxaban compared favorably to uninterrupted warfarin in 248 patients in a randomized controlled trial. They looked similar, safe, effective. So these are early data, but I think they're reassuring, and it's important data because more and more patients who present for AF ablation are coming to the procedure on NOAC drugs. And switching these from NOACs to warfarin in the real world is really no small thing. Next up is a really cool study on Botox injections. Dr. Jonathan Steinberg presented this botulinum study as a late-breaking clinical trial. And this was a simple study done mostly in Russia, where they randomized 60 patients, 60 patients at the time of bypass surgery. 30 patients got injected with Botox in their epicardial fat pads, and 30 patients got injected with placebo, and they followed these patients with loop recorders. And they reported their 30-day results in JACC last year, and the results were very favorable. Almost no AFib, post-op AFib, in the patients who got Botox injections in the fat. But what's cool about this study is that the results, the lack of AFib persist at 1 year. So this is interesting because Botox, as you know, the effect goes away after a period of time, certainly before a year, but yet these patients developed essentially no AFib compared to placebo. Remarkable findings that really may change how we think about a whole strategy or approach to AFib. Next up, His bundle pacing. And this is really exciting stuff. You wouldn't think that a small town in northeastern Pennsylvania might become the sort of crucible of the next pacing developments. But Dr. Vijay Araman is leading the way. He and his colleagues have multiple posters which show us that His bundle pacing may, one, reteach us His Purkinje physiology, two, prevent RV apical pacing in patients with heart block, and most provocatively, it may actually be a replacement for CRT with two leads rather than three. They can narrow the QRS, they can do this effectively, and I'm writing a story on this today that should be up later in the day. And other happenings at the Heart Rhythm Society meeting, the big thing is ABIM and MOC controversy is still white hot. My former mentor at Indiana University, Dr. Doug Zipes, took the protagonist view against Fred Kusumoto. It was a good debate. And then a few hours later, yesterday, Dr. Rich Fogel took questions from an embittered membership, really. Not one member stood up and favored ABIM MOC as it stands right now. So the Heart Rhythm Society really has some decisions to make in terms of what they're going to do with certification going forward. It's a moving topic. It's very exciting. Finally, in Boston, the weather is nice every day. It's perfect weather. The convention is vibrant. It's well attended. Of course, the largesse of the industry influence is still ever present. No signs of easing. And I also noticed that more and more doctors are joining Twitter. In non-heart rhythm news, I just point you to the Contrave Light controversy. My colleague Michael O'Riordan has a great story with many quotes from Steve Nissen on this. And this trial is of a weight loss drug, naltrexone and bupropion, is not going to happen. I'm sort of glad because I'm really skeptical about single drugs for obesity, and I'm especially skeptical about two drugs that block our pleasure receptors. That sounds scary to me. So from Boston, this is John Mandrola from the heart.org on Medscape. Until next week, I'll see you later.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.